like the sunshine again. I know the master of the land. Let's sing that first verse. My boat of life sails on the troubled sea. Never there's a wind in my sail. But I have a friend who watches over me. When the breeze turns into a gale, I know the master of soul can be found. An unexpected storm may drive me from the high. It'll bring me low, but it'll never bring me down. That's your testimony. Raise your hands tonight. I know the master of the for that tonight. We got quite a few prayer requests. We'll read these for you tonight. And then, Keith, would you mind to come pray over these? Let's remember Leah Clark. She's pulled something and has a very stiff and sore neck. Bonnie Potter turns that in. Thanks to the Lord to you all for your prayers. The baby and toddler that we requested prayer for on Wednesday are both home from the hospital and doing well. That's from the Bean family. Just thank the Lord for that. A special unspoken prayer request for saints of the Tucson Tabernacle. They got a very important decision to make this Sunday, so let's remember that. Please pray for the family of Jesse Harden. He was riding a dirt bike and was hit by a car driven by his sister. I didn't know that part of the story. Yesterday, he sustained a head injury and passed away today. He was 12 years old. So, man, that sister too, goodness gracious. Let's remember that family. That's a really sweet family that a lot of the folks from the church know. So let's remember that family. Sister Angie Brown from Louisiana called to request prayer for Traveling Mercy as she will be leaving on Sunday to visit her father in Georgia, who's been having complications since April. Sister Anne in Asker, Norway, says, I'd like to give thanks to the Lord Jesus for my mother's complete recovery after her hip operation. Now even her blood count is right again, and she's doing just fine in her everyday activities. I also want to entrust my daughter Lisa and my brother Per and his family members into the Lord's hands as they go visiting families in the U.S. And they're asking for Traveling Mercy for them. Brother Keith Phillips says, my daughter and her mother have an unspoken request. Let's remember that. Remember my mom sharing in prayer. She's having a mastectomy on the 14th. That's from Sister Kennedy. Brother Johnny Little has a blocked artery. Ask the church to remember him in prayer for the possible repair of this artery. Also remember Patty and Ann Little for medical conditions they both have. Please pray for Brother Dave Harmon. He has a severe sore throat. Also, Sister Brenda Harmon wants to praise the Lord for her brother coming through surgery and doing well. Also, request for Brother Frank. His blood sugar is very high. Let's remember that. Please pray for Evelyn Kincaid. That's Brother Philip Priest's mom. She is in very critical condition, so let's remember her. And I believe that's all the prayer requests. If you could stand tonight, just join with Brother Keith as he prays over these. Thank you, sir.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise, thanking you that you brought us to church. We didn't bring you. You brought us. And praise you for what you've already set forth in your word. We may be smaller in number, but you said just two or three, if they would believe, that you would do what they would ask. And Father, your word says we're already healed. And that's what we're going to look to, what you said, not what circumstances dictate. And not what the doctor says, or not what we can see, taste, feel, smell, or hear. We look to your word, and your word says, by your stripes we are already healed. We'll anchor our faith on that. Many needs, Lord, but you saw them before the foundation of the world. Before we can even pray, you knew that we would have to ask. And you made a way for us to get our petitions answered. So we commit them into those nail-scarred hands. And believe that we're going to hear testimonies of thy saving grace and thy mercy. And Lord, most of all, be with us in the remainder of the service. Whoever's speaking, Lord, here, and whoever's speaking there at the other services where our pastor is, Father, we just pray you'd pour out your spirit. Send forth your word and power and demonstration of the gospel, that your name would be glorified, and we'll give all the praise and honor unto thee. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Keith. You can be seated tonight. Well, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace? This hour, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking faith by the Savior's side? In the blood. the brothers would like to come and lift the offering tonight. Let's sing Walking Up the King's Highway in D. I think Sister Esther has a song with some of the youth tonight. If y'all want to go ahead and come on up and be getting ready to sing, and let's just sing a little bit of this together, Walking Up the King's Highway. Well, my way gets brighter and my load gets lighter, walking up the King's Highway. There's joy in knowing where am I going, walking up the King's Highway. It's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a beside me, angels who guide me, walking up the King's Highway. It's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a Let's pray for our youth as they sing for us tonight.
If I call, will you come? When I cry, do you hear? I believe every tear is caught up by a faithful God. So I will cry until you come.
Visiting minister tonight that I don't know about you, but I've been looking forward all week to this weekend. Very, very gifted. I appreciate it's Brother Watkins, Brother Matt Watkins, what the Lord's done for him and the gift that he has. And I'm just looking forward to hearing some good preaching tonight. Amen. Let's sing. Let's worship as he comes here. Let's sing that Be Multiplied. Well, God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across the sky, and these hallelujahs be multiplied. Sing it with me. God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across the sky, and these hallelujahs be multiplied. Again, let's sing it. God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across the sky, and these hallelujahs be multiplied. Well, God of mercy, sweet love of mine, across the sky, and these hallelujahs be multiplied. Let's sing it again as Brother Watkins comes. Sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across the sky, these hallelujahs be multiplied.
Praise the Lord. You love the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be here in the house of
God with you. Amen. I'm glad to know that Jesus is here because he comes wherever he's invited. Amen. And we've invited him tonight. Have you invited him? Amen. To say, Lord, feel welcome amongst us. Come and speak by your word. Feel free in this building. Amen. I had this song upon my heart. I hope it's okay if we sing it. Amen. When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll. Oh, whatever my lot, oh, whatever my lot, thou hast called me to say, it is well. Blessed assurance. Oh, let it control. Oh, yes, Jesus. Oh, that Christ. praise offering in this building. Oh, could we just take a few seconds just to worship Him? Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. High and lifted up is Your name, O God. Most High, Lord, You've given us a peace that passes understanding. Lord, You said, my peace I leave with You, not as the world gives. Lord, but my peace will be a peace that comes with You in the fiery furnace. It's with You in the lion's den. It's with You in the belly of a whale. Oh, I'll never leave You nor forsake You. And we say tonight, oh Jesus, it is well with our soul. We thank You, Lord God, for that blessed hope, that blessed peace. Father, that it's well. Lord, though the storms come, though the seas should arise, there's a peace that passes understanding. We thank You for that, dear Jesus. We bless Your name. We love You and we thank You. You love Him tonight? Oh my, God is so good. He's so rich. Amen. And we're so thankful that He's here tonight. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Matthew chapter 26. Praise the Lord. It is well. Is it well with your soul? Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 26. You know, I'm actually going to, let's go to Mark chapter 14. We'll begin there. Well, it's good to be here in the house of God. Amen. Good to be back here with you. Amen. And it was just a little while ago, I think the beginning of this year, that we were here. Amen. And time has came and time has gone. We're still here. We're still fighting. Are you still fighting? Amen. Still staying on the firing line. Amen. Pressing the battle. We want to say just thank you to Brother Donnie for having us. And I know some are away, amen, at the meetings that they're having there in Virginia. I think it is there with Brother Ron Spencer. Amen. But we're here. The Lord is here. Amen. We come with needs. Amen. You come with a need tonight. Amen. You believe God's mindful of your need? Yes. Amen. God is not a respecter of persons. Amen. God is mindful of His people. And so we just want to speak what the Lord has put upon our heart. Amen. We'll go straight to the Word and try to not keep you too long here tonight, but we just want to say some things that are upon our heart. Amen. I'd like to speak to you tonight on understanding your cup of pain. Understanding your cup of pain. And that title will make more sense as we get to the Scripture here. Mark chapter 14. Amen. We'll just begin reading here. Let's begin at the 31st verse. Let's begin at verse 32, Mark 14, 32. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and He said unto His disciples, sit you here while I shall pray. And He taketh with Him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And He said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Tarry you here and watch. And He went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from Him. And He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto Thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but Thou will. This is one of the hardest statements that we can make if it really comes from our soul. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thou. Let Thou will be done. And He cometh and findeth them sleeping and said unto Peter, verse 37, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch you and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. He again, verse 39, He went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when He returned, He found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. It is amazing that this was the climax of Jesus' life. And at the very pinnacle of every prophecy, every prophet that had prophesied had been waiting. All creation was waiting for this moment when the Lamb of God would take away the sins of the world. And at the very climax, where is God's family? Asleep, and their eyes are heavy. Amen. The pressure was too much. Pressure was too great. And Jesus said, He says that they found Him asleep again. And He cometh the third time and said unto them, sleep on now, take your rest. It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just are calm here tonight because we rest, Lord, and we relax, Father, in your hands tonight. God, we've come with many needs, Lord, various troubles, Lord, no doubt, Father, various afflictions amongst the body here tonight, Lord. But you've sent me here, God, as a servant, Lord, with a word upon my heart. Father, a burden upon my spirit, Lord, and I feel burdened with it even now, God, as I read this scripture. Lord, I pray, oh God, that your word would find its bedding ground tonight in the soul of a man or a woman. Lord, maybe one or two, maybe the church, Lord. Whatever it would be, oh God, we just ask, Lord, that your word would find its place. Be mindful of us, Lord, and our insufficiency here tonight. And oh God, would you come and have your way? We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. I'd like to begin, and I want to parallel three different people's lives as I've only spoke this just a few places now and spoke it very recently at a church, and God just moved in such an incredible way and begin to drive here and feel impressed with this thought for tonight. But I'd like to parallel the life of Jesus and David and Job as we look at some of these things in their life. As we could say, what does it mean to understand our cup of pain? We see Jesus at the very moment of the climax, as we said, in the moment of his greatest trial and torment and trouble. The Bible says that he said, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death." And we find that the spiritual climate of that time, as the people were under such pressure, they were under such pressure and running from the Romans. And here they had found their chief captain, Jesus. And here he had walked with him all this time. And their expectations of their earthly expectations of who he was and what he was coming to do was going to be so dashed in just a short while as Jesus is arrested and he's taken into custody. And you can imagine their entire world is turned upside down. They don't understand, why is this happening? Why? This is not the script that I had written. This is not how it was supposed to go down. This is not the chain of events. It was supposed to be so different. And now their world is shaken and their expectations are shaken, as no doubt, like many of us, we have the plan of God for our life and we have it a certain way. We have it mapped out and we know how things are supposed to happen and how things are supposed to go in our life. And sometimes when trouble comes our way and when sorrow comes our way and it doesn't go the way that we thought and it doesn't go to our own expectations. And this is what was happening to the disciples here, as their expectation was Jesus was going to come and deliver them from their oppressors. Jesus was going to come and deliver them from their enemy. He was coming as the king, and the Romans had bullied them, and the Romans had beat them, and the Romans were constantly oppressing them. And now this little group of people, these men had found their king, and they said, finally, God has sent our hero, and God has sent our Superman, and he's going to come and deliver us from these Romans, and he'll set up his kingdom, and we'll all reign with him, and we'll get those bullies back that have bullied us and beat us, and we'll show them who's boss. That was their expectation. Oh, you know, who's going to be greatest in the kingdom? You could see their mind and how they had expected. And so many times, this is where trouble comes in, when our earthly view conflicts with God's heavenly view. As our horizontal view that we have, all we see is what's in front of us, but God sees the vertical view. He knows the end from the beginning. And our expectations, many times as we wrestle with this, trying to wrestle sometimes with the will of God for our life and understanding some things that we go through. And this was their expectation. He was coming, and I know what's going to happen is, you know, we map out a script and are perfect in our life, even from the time that we're born and young. You know, children know what they're going to be when they grow up. They know who they're going to marry. The girls know what color eyes to she'll have and what color hair and what color hair she'll have. And they map all this entire life. You know, we used to play a game as kids. I'm sure some of you had played them called. We used to take a piece of paper and they'd write Ilme S.H. on the top, MASH. Some of y'all ever play that game. Raise your hand if you have. Don't be embarrassed. Oh, yeah. Oh, lots of people. We're all guilty. We used to play that game, you know, the M stood for mansion, the A for apartment, the S for shack, and the H for house. I always ended up with the shack. Always bad luck. But we have it mapped out. Everything's going to be perfect. I got my life planned out. I got my dreams planned out. I got my ambition planned out, and I know what's going to happen. And then God's will comes down. And now God says, he who follows me must deny himself. Is that what the Bible says? He who follows after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And this was their expectations. Here comes our hero. He's going to come and deliver us from our enemies. He's going to come and beat down our enemy and come and slay our enemies. And oh, brother and sister, he was coming to slay the enemy. He was going to deliver the final blow to the enemy on the cross of Calvary. But the enemy was not the pressure that they felt. The enemy was not the people around them in flesh and blood. The enemy was not the Romans. The enemy was themselves. You see, that was the trouble. That's what causes us our torment and our trouble. We can blame it on people and we could blame it on circumstance. We could blame it on health. We could blame it on money. But the real issue is our will conflicting with God. And they come to this place and we see here that Jesus is coming to this great hard times, and now their expectations are going to be dashed as now that he's taken and he's taken prisoner. And now we see the pressure that Jesus comes under. And you know, I would say that it would be a universal cry in this building tonight if I was just to ask for a show of hands to say, who here wants to be like Jesus? I'm sure all of us would raise our hand and say, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like the Lord in his nature, in his character. Then let's find out what produced this man. As we know, the prophet of God says character is not a gift, but it's a victory. Oh, don't let that become a cheap statement to you. It has value to me. Character is not a gift. It's not something that somebody hands you or just falls on your lap someday, but character is a victory, and victory doesn't come without a struggle, and victory doesn't come without a fight. Oh, I tell you what, I dare you to show me a man of God who's anointed with the Spirit of God, who desires righteousness in his life, that is trouble-free, worry-free, pressure-free. You won't find one. Well, you'll find a man of God who's used to fiery furnaces. You'll find a woman of God who's used to lonely nights in prayer. You'll find a son of God who's used to the lion's den. He's used to struggle. He's used to torment. Because that's the way God chose the path of suffering. Think it not strange when fiery trials are to try you, knowing that the trial of your faith is much more precious than that of gold. Oh, but it's so hard sometimes to come this route of suffering. What was it that formed the pressure of this man? What was it about this man in this Garden of Gethsemane as we see Jesus, who was the Son of God, in Gethsemane here? And he had spent his entire life and mission, his entire purpose, his entire calling, his destiny was leading him to this moment of Gethsemane. His destiny was urging him and pulling him. History and prophecy was pushing and anointing and urging this great climax. You say, what was the climax? Was it a kingdom? Was it money? Was it popularity? Was it fame or fortune? No, it was a cross on a hill far away. It was Calvary. It was a path of death to his own will. As I know, we've preached it here before. What was the victory that Christ endured? It was the victory over his own human will with the plan of God for his life. It was when he could say, as the Bible says, he even asked twice, Lord, if it's at all possible, let this cup pass for me. If it's at all his humanity said, if it's even possible, Lord, God, if there's any other way, if there's any other way, let it pass from me. What was it? It was the battle over his own will. And this is where the victory or the defeat is won tonight, is on your own human mind as you struggle and you struggle with the plan of God and you struggle with the calling of God in your life. And many, many people, let me say this here tonight, are serving God. They love the Lord. They come to church, but they are not in the plan of God and the purpose for God for their life. Because many times they know that's a path of sorrow, sometimes a path of torment, a path of suffering. But we all say we want to be like Jesus, but do we want to come Jesus' way? As he says, how I learned obedience by the things I suffered. What was it? It was the victory over self. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he could say, not my will, but thine be done. This is why Gethsemane, when he comes from Gethsemane and he goes to Calvary, look at what the Bible says. He was crucified on a hill called Golgotha. What does Golgotha mean in Aramaic? The place of the skull. It was the place of the mind. Calvary represented a man, a divine man, who conquered his own human mind. He conquered his own human will. And the prophet of God said the greatest battle ever fought would take place in the battleground of the mind. And my brother or sister, do we realize this is where people will fall away from grace? It's because they lose the struggle of their own human mind. Oh, you could hear it in his words when he looks to his disciples and he says, could you not watch with me 1 hour? In verse 40, he says, can you not watch with me even 1 hour? What was it? Now they were sleeping. They were tired. They were weary from the pressure. Such pressure, whatever pain, let me say this, whatever pain Jesus was enduring, whatever pain was in that cup that Jesus was drinking of, the Bible says he sweated drops of blood and he cried out to God, oh God, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Amen. It was a cup of pain. It was a cup of torment. It was a cup of sorrow. Oh, when Job was being served this cup of pain, Job says in Job chapter 30, he hath cast me into the mire. Mine eyes poureth out tears unto God. In other words, Job said, I'm sorely pained. I can't see my way. My eyes are consumed. My eyes are sore. David said, when he was being served his cup of pain, he said, I made my couch a bed of tears. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. Oh, have you ever cried so much that your eyes begin to hurt and they swell up because you've cried so much you can't cry anymore? This is the torment that David was suffering. David says, my eye is consumed because of grief. Oh, this was the pain Jesus was facing. I believe, we believe in God's power to heal the body. Do we believe in that tonight? Oh, I heard a man say, we believe in healing. I believe in healing. And I also believe in affliction. I got a lot less amens on that one. We believe in healing. We believe in affliction. But do you believe in healing afflictions? David said, before I was afflicted, my heart went astray. Sometimes affliction, as the Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivereth them from them all. But it doesn't mean you don't go through them, brother. It doesn't mean you don't go through affliction, sister. Sometimes we go through affliction and pain as David did. And David said, I think it's Psalms 38. David cried within himself and said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? What was it? David was saying, I love the Lord. I serve God. You're all that I seek. You're all that I want. But yet within myself, I find myself melancholy. I find myself depressed. Why am I down? David says, why am I downcast? Many of the afflictions of the righteous. Jesus said under this pressure to Peter, when Peter comes under such great pressure and stress that the Romans come and they come to take away Jesus, and the Bible says Peter reaches in his sheath and pulls his sword out and chops the soldier's ear off. What was it? Peter was only seeing the earthly perspective. He missed the divine perspective. Peter was so stuck in his own earthly perspective, in his own earthly understanding. All he knew was the Word was being attacked and the Word was being arrested, and I've got to defend the Word. In so much he resorted to violence himself. And what does Jesus say? Peter, put your sword in your sheath. Imagine, I can sort of sympathize with Peter. Boy, I'd want to fight too. Coming after the Lord, coming after my Lord, coming after my master. Boy, Peter was just acting natural. He wanted to, he chopped off his ear, and Jesus says, Peter, put your sword in your sheath. The cup that my Father is serving me, shall I not drink it? Did you notice what Jesus said? The cup that my Father is serving me. In other words, this isn't the hand of the devil, Peter. This isn't the hand of the enemy. This is the hand of God. And oh, my brother, my sister, sometimes we have to endure torment. Sometimes we have to endure suffering. But if you can just get a glimpse of the hands that is serving the cup, you can go through the trial with confidence that He has your best in mind. He doesn't send you trials to destroy you or derail you or dash your faith. But God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you to the end of the world. Because Jesus had a revelation of the hands that was serving the cup. My cup that my Father is serving. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus says in the place that we read in Matthew 26 and in Mark 14, He says, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Why would this man, Jesus, knowing the plan of God for his life, knowing his destiny, knowing what this was it all just a show? No, it wasn't. This was his own humanity conflicting with that perfect plan of God. He knew he would face this hour. He knew all along this hour was coming. Oh, but sometimes the hardest part of the trial and sometimes the darkest part of the trial is the last half hour before victory comes. Sometimes just before, around the corner, before light comes, you get into some of the darkest tunnels, some of the darkest nights of confusion to where you don't understand the plan of God. You don't understand why this is happening. You can't make sense of it all. And you have to just resort to one thing. Just say, Lord, I don't feel you. I can't understand you, but I'll trust you, Lord. I'll trust you when I can't understand. I'll believe in you when I don't understand what's happening to me. Oh, even Abraham, as he was there and given the promise to God, he had forsaken his father and mother. He had left the land of his hometown. And now Lot had even separated himself. And now God says, take Isaac, your son, your only son, and sacrifice him to me. Could you imagine? Little did Abraham know that this is the faith God was looking for before he would give him the promise. Oh, my brother and my sister, let you be. I want to tell you to be encouraged tonight. You may be facing the last night of your dark trial. If you're in a dark trial here tonight, tonight may be the last night that you have to endure it. You don't know what God has around the corner, because joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. Just tomorrow, God may have a deliverance plan for you. And you say, I don't understand what's happening, and I don't understand what I'm going through. I've got a message for you tonight. Hold on. Hold on to faith tonight. Hold on to Jesus. Joy comes in the morning. Oh, when David was understanding this, David says in Psalms 143, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart is desolate within me. Peter, even in his dark night of confusion, curses the master, curses and says, I don't even know him. Under such stress, could you imagine? Under such stress and pressure of the situation that he curses and says, I don't even know him. Don't even know his name. Can you have grace for a Peter? Hello, somebody? Some of us are so high and mighty, we can't have grace for Brother Peter. We preach a Judas who betrays Jesus, but do you preach a Peter who can deny the Lord? But after he's converted, come back to his senses. Oh, that might not sit over too well, but it's the truth anyways. Can you have grace for Brother Peter tonight, who even the greatest son of God or daughter of God can sometimes get under such confusion? Brother Branham said even of John, his eagle eyes got filmed over and just said, look, are you he or do we look for another? Imagine even John himself. Some of us would have written John off and said he's not seed, he's not elect. If he can't see the word for his hour, he's not seed, he's not elect. Just don't give up on anybody. God didn't give up on you. God didn't give up on you. Don't give up on anybody. Say, God can make a way when there seems to be no way. Jesus says, tell him the dumb, tell him the blind see, the deaf hear. What was it? The word of God was going to come and quicken John's senses again. Oh, I'm just chasing foxes here tonight. I hope it's okay. Just preaching from my heart here tonight. But we see this in even Job when he faces his dark night. Job says, lo, he goeth by me. Could you imagine this man, Job, who the Bible says he feared God. He eschewed evil. He what did Job do? I ask you that question tonight. What did brother Job do to deserve the trial he was going through? I said here when we preached here, I think the last time we were here on the potter's hands, some of your greatest struggles will not be between you and some health condition, some you and some financial condition. That could be a great struggle. But some of your greatest struggles and battles will be between you and God. As you wrestle out the why. The big question mark. The why did that happen? Why did it happen to me? What did I do to deserve this? Why did this have to happen to me? I don't understand. Imagine I could sympathize with Brother Job as Job says in Job chapter 23. If you have it, just turn there quickly. Job chapter 23. Job says in Job 23, Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. Now I want you to understand this as if you don't read the context of what this means. Job is not bitter necessarily against God. He's not coming mad or upset or angry in that sense. But Job is just human. He's just having a hard time understanding. And Job, as you can understand and you can sympathize with, here his everything he has, he's now lost his children. His wife is forsaken. His wife, his entire family, his cattle, his wife, his kids, his home. Everything's gone. Amen. Now, if anybody be looking for an answer as to why, it'd be old brother Job. And Job says, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, Job says, oh that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him. You imagine this man as he was praying this in desperation, as Job was having a hard time understanding. He couldn't understand what was happening. If anybody needed to speak to God and needed to have a conference with God, it would be this man. And Job says, oh, as I just knew where he lived, I would knock on his door. I would go into his living room. I would sit down at his table and I would have a conversation with him. And say, God, why is this happening? Lord, why did this happen to me? If you would just tell me, Lord, I would be okay. Job says, oh, that I knew where I might find him. Verse 4, I would order my cause before him. I would fill my mouth with arguments. I would know. Job says, I would know that the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No. But he would put strength in me. Oh, this was Job's confidence. Job knew the Lord. Job knew his character. Job knew what kind of person he was. Job knew he wasn't an evil father. Job knew he wasn't an evil man. Job knew he wasn't that everything that was happening to him, though he couldn't understand it, he knew this. God is not putting me through this to make me weak, but God is putting me through this to make me strong. Job says he would put strength in me. Oh, he says in verse 7, there the righteous
might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, notice this, behold, I go forward. I go forward. Are you there, Lord? Are you over here, Lord? Is it over here? I'm having trouble understanding all this that I'm going through. I'll go forward and look for him. Are you there, God? And Job says, I'll go forward. But he's not there. Job says, he's not there. And I go backwards. I go backwards. Maybe I need to trace my steps. See what happened. Job says, but I've looked. And he's not there. I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth on the right hand. Has anybody ever felt like this? Oh, come on, some of you holy people. Anybody ever felt like this? Sometimes, maybe you're here tonight and you've said, I've prayed and the ceiling feels like brass. I've asked God, I've pleaded, I've begged, and it doesn't do any good. My trouble is still with me. I've looked on the left, but he's not there. I've went to the right and I still can't find him. Oh, sometimes we can become discouraged because we don't understand. I thought God was supposed to hear me when I pray. Can we be honest people here tonight? I thought that's what prayer was for. I thought God was supposed to hear. I thought God was supposed to answer. I thought that's why I serve the Lord. A Christian's not supposed to go through these things. This is where Job could have been very easily. I mean, is the prophet of God, even when his own wife is dead and now his baby, and he wants to give up, even himself, knowing God and seeing the power of God, was about to turn away and walk away from God. David says in Psalms 38, why art thou cast down, O my soul? David begins to talk. When I heard a man say one time, a fool is the man who only speaks to other people, but never speaks to himself. As David has an honest conversation with himself between him and God. Why are you cast down? And David comes to verse 14, I think it is, and David says, Lord, my hope is in you. Do you understand that? I'm not a sinner. I'm not cheating. I'm not looking to the world. I'm not backslidden into drugs and alcohol. I'm at church. I love God. I'm at his temple, but yet still I feel discouraged. It's very easy sometimes to face trials when we have an understanding of why they're happening. It's very hard and bitter when we can't make sense of it. Oh, I don't understand why. Look, Job said, do you understand? David says in Psalms 38, he says, my hope is in you, Lord. My trust is in you. And then David says, and Lord, I'm ready to halt. You know what that word means? Fall. David says, Lord, I'm ready to collapse. I can't bear it anymore. I can't wait anymore, Lord. I'm ready to stop. I'm ready to halt, oh God. And Job says, I've went forward. He's not there. I went backwards. Nope. Went on the left. Where his hand is, where he doth work. And he's not there. Let me give you an interpretation of that. I read my Bible, but I don't feel God. I studied his word, but I can't feel his anointing. I went to church and I've heard the songs of Zion, but I'm still down and I'm still downcast and I still don't feel God. I still don't sense God. I don't feel his presence like I used to anymore. I've went to special meetings. I've went to preachers. I've went to people. But there's just something disquieting within me. David says, my hope is in you. And Job says, Lord, I've went on the left. You're not there. I've went on the right. Notice, let's look at our word here in Job 20, chapter 23. He says in verse 8, I go forward, but he's not there. And backward, I cannot perceive him on the left where he doth work. But I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. What do you do for a person like this? What do you do for a brother who feels washed up, left out, and doesn't know why? What do you do in discouragement when you don't understand And you just feel like, what have I done to deserve this? What do you do when you can't find God? What do you do when you can't feel God? What do you do when you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed all night? Like that woman who comes to that unjust judge that Jesus gives the parable about, and she comes knocking back on his door. What does she do? She keeps coming. She gets kicked out, but she keeps coming. She gets pushed away, but she keeps coming. She gets pushed away again, but something in her won't let her give up. It won't let her quit or let her stop. Job says, I've looked on the left, I've looked on the right, and I can't find him. What are you going to do, Job? What's your resolve, Job? Where is your confidence? Are you going to turn your back on God, Job? Are you going to leave him, Job? Are you going to quit on him, Job? Job says in verse 10, but here's my confidence. He knoweth the way that I take. Oh, hallelujah. What is Job saying? I may not see God and I may not feel God, but here's where my confidence rests. He sees me. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I may not feel God. I may not see God, but I know He sees me. And though I can't feel him, though I can't see him, still I'll serve him. Though I can't touch him, though I can't feel him, if I could, I would. But here's my confidence. He knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Oh, brother, it's easy to serve God when you feel him. It's easy to serve God and to praise God when you feel Him and when you see Him, when money's in the bank. Oh boy, some of the happiest people in the world are on Friday when you get paid. You got money in the bank. Your bills are paid. But let me tell you something, friend. That's fragile. It can bust and it can break. That is not peace in God. Peace in God is when you have no money, when your health is broken, when you can't feel God. But there's something inside of you. There's a peace that passes understanding. That says, I may not feel him, but I'm still going to serve him. I may not sense him, but I'm still going to raise hands and give him the praise that's due his name. Oh, hallelujah. Job says, he knoweth the way that I take. Verse 11, my foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. This was Job's, the integrity of Job's decision. Oh, he comes to this place, even where Jesus comes, to where he feels left. He feels left out. He feels deserted. Yeah. Christians can feel deserted sometimes. Jesus says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Maybe some of you have never felt that, but that's the loneliness that people feel sometimes is a real trial that they go through. When you feel forsaken and you feel forgotten. Job says in his hour of trouble, God's become cruel to me. I cry in the day and in the night, but he hears me not. David says, I am forgotten as a dead man. He cries out in another place just as Jesus did. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? Say, why does God sometimes lift his hand off of our life to where we don't feel him? Let me tell you why. It says in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, God left him to try him that he might know all that was in his heart. Let me say this, friend. Sometimes God doesn't need to know. God doesn't leave you because he wants to see. Let me see what he'll do if I forsake. Let me see what he'll do if I'm far from him for a little while. It ain't about God needing to know, but sometimes you need to have a revelation that there's something in you that's unshakable. There's a power of prevailing revelation that the Bible says the gates of hell cannot prevail against. Let me say this, my brother and my sister. You did not start the work of God that is in your life and you can't finish. It. You did not start the work of God in your life and you can't stop it. Paul said, I am persuaded that nothing, neither tribulation, nor torment, nor trials shall separate me from the love that is in Christ Jesus. I can't even separate me. You say, how far can you go? Not far enough for God can forget me. I can't go deep enough where God can't reach me. Oh, somebody say, praise the Lord. David said, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. This is a hard spot when we come to sometimes, even as Elijah comes to in 1 Kings chapter 19, if you have your Bible turned there with me. 1 Kings chapter 19. He says in verse, the Bible says in verse 9, this was Elijah. And he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. Behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after a fire, after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the inner end of the cave. And behold, there come a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And notice how Elijah repeats himself. I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Imagine under such confusion, this man just a few chapters before, when you read the Bible, here he is on Carmel, and there's a great victory as the people are in an amnesia, spiritual amnesia has set in, and Ahab's there, and all the prophets of Baal, and Elijah says, oh, you know, come and dance upon your altar, come and call upon your God. And Elijah says, take a ditch, and he says, take the ditch and fill it up with water. They take buckets and they fill the ditch. He says, fill it up again. They fill it up again. Fill it up a third time. And Elijah says, let the God of fire, let the God that's God answer by fire. Amen. And now they come, and the Bible says the Baal worshippers begin to jump and they cut themselves with knives. And Elijah mocks them and says, oh, maybe your God is on vacation. Maybe he's at Disney World somewhere and he doesn't hear you. And Elijah, the Bible says, calls the people. And he says, come near. And Elijah brings them near and begins to repair the altar. And God, the Bible says that Elijah lifts up his head and says, Lord, come and quicken. Come and show these people. Imagine this prayer. Now he's really stepped out on a limb. And he says, let the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And now Elijah says, now God, come and consume this sacrifice and show these people that I've done all this at thy word, Lord. I imagine Elijah was maybe a little bit, his confidence on a spiritual side God's going to, but his flesh might have said, oh, I hope you show up now, God. I'm really got myself out here on a limb. And the Bible says suddenly from the sky comes fire that falls and consumes the altar and the water and licks up the sacrifice. You imagine as Elijah is seeing this and he's watching this God that is answered by fire and the people are shouting and rejoicing and God has broken the chains off the people. Imagine it was a time of some revival. Imagine some people were shouting and dancing. Imagine Elijah was praising God. How does this same man, just a few chapters later, find himself so depressed and so messed up that he wants to commit suicide? Did you say suicide, Brother Matt? Elijah? Wait a minute, Elijah. Did you read that from the Bible or make that up? No, that's right from the Bible. Ready to take his own life. One minute victory. Mount Carmel. And now Elijah's curled up, shaking. Praying, crying, saying, God, Am I not better than my fathers? Lord, you took them too. Just take me, God. Just take me, Lord. And God says, Elijah, got a question. What are you doing here? What doest thou here, Elijah? Now here's one thing that we can be certain of tonight. God was not ignorant of why Elijah was there. But now Elijah needs to know. God's saying, Elijah, what are you doing under the juniper tree? Let's see this chain of events in your life. A mountaintop and a valley. A mountaintop and a valley. A mountaintop and a valley. Sound familiar to anybody? A high and then a low. God says, let's watch this pattern here, Elijah. Just a few moments ago, you were on Mount Carmel shouting. And now you're depressed and ready to take your life. Now you're ready to end it all. And then God asked him, he said, what are you doing here, Elijah? So then here comes the great wind as Elijah comes to the mouth of the cave. And the Bible says the wind comes and it shakes the mountain. We know here comes the earthquake and the rocks begin to fall. Prophet of God picks this up in the message. What doest thou here, Elijah? If you have that, brothers. He says, there he laid under the juniper tree. He didn't know what to do. He says his nerves was broke. He was shaking. He was crying, no doubt. He was in a terrible condition. Many of us hit those places. I said, many of us hit those places. How many will be honest here tonight and say, I've been there? I've been there. Many times, especially after Mount Carmel experience. And now Elijah finds himself ready to end his life, ready to end it all. And Brother Branham says, here he was in this condition, ready to end his life. And he says he was in a terrible condition. It was asked of me the other day by someone about that. What can be done for us at that time? There's only one thing to do. Commit yourself to God. That wasn't enough for me. That wasn't enough. I need something bigger. I need something greater. I need some work I can do. I need to go. You know, he needed to say, go read 7 tapes, read the 7 church ages, then the seals, then listen to this message, then stream this brother over here. Read your Bible for 4 hours. And then you click, boom, pow, bam, you're out of it. And you're shouting again. You see, we want something we can do. And so many times when we get to this place, this is what the devil does. He puts us like a hamster on a wheel. Do, 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 do. Go to more church. Go to this, go to that, do this. And we're trying and struggling and trying and struggling. I've got to break out of this. I've got to break out of this. But wait a minute, brother. Wait a minute, sister. Don't miss why God has you there. You say, Brother Matt, you mean that there's times when we're, when God has actually ordained us to be low and down? Yep. Solomon says, to everything there's a season, a time and a purpose. There's a time for building up and there's a time for breaking down. What can be done for us, Brother Branham? Here we are. We want to know this question. What would the prophet of God say? Commit yourself to God. He says, oh, there he says, I've had those feelings after I come out of a meeting, look like I tried and preached and begged and persuaded, seen the angel of God sweep through a meeting, do signs and wonders and sit in the car outside and hear them cry and say it was nothing but psychology. There's nothing to it. That's all nonsense. And the prophet says, then I crawled under the juniper tree. I think, Lord, why did you let me do it? What can be done? But we all hit those experiences. But the mercy of Jehovah to his servant. Here's the answer tonight. God knows your trials. Just know this. If you're going to know anything, just know this. Oh, I want you to hear the word of the Lord tonight. Just know this. He knows all about it. Oh, somebody say, praise God. Just know this. He knows my trials. He knows all about it. Sometimes you feel like, as I did one time, put a pistol against my head to commit suicide. But I couldn't do it. Took a glove off to lay it on a high voltage line where I was working, but I couldn't do it. Something still held. Something still held. The same God that was with Elijah, the same God today, He's seen me under the juniper tree. My wife and baby, He says, my wife and baby laying yonder in the grave, and my daddy, my brother, I was just about gone myself. I've laid under the juniper tree. It's hard. And I got to a place I was so beside myself, I tried to make a gun shoot my brains out of that, wouldn't do it. See, there's work yet to be done. Something has to be done. Something has to be done. If you go listen to this message, what doest thou hear? As Brother Branham begins to preach this, you hear him his voice begins to shake as he's preaching this. And he says, something has to be done. And in the middle of the tape, it goes silent. And if you're listening to it, you think maybe the tape, something's wrong. Until you start hearing Brother Branham, as you can hear him start crying like a baby. And Brother Branham says, oh God, you know I'm preaching this for myself, because that's where I'm at right now, Lord. And I don't know what to do. And he gets to such a low place. Our Elijah gets to such a low place in his life. He says, something has to be done. God wasn't finished. And then he makes this comment, he'll always take care of you. What's he doing? He's encouraging his own self. Don't be so cast down on my soul. He'll always take care of me. Poor, tired, weary servant. He saw him. Go on, brother. He says, poor, tired, weary servant. He saw him. He knowed where he was. You got to go down another one. He knows where you was. He knows where you're at tonight. Oh, somebody take courage here tonight as I preach this sermon. Going to come to a close here in a moment. This is your opportunity to hear the voice of God here tonight. He knowed where he was, and he knows where you're at tonight. You may be under a juniper tree and everything is gone, but remember, he knows where you're at. He knows your trials. He knows where you're at. Oh, as Elijah comes to this place in his life, and even our Elijah here, such a weary, weary and feeling that he feels within himself. And Elijah's shaking. He's there shaking. Lord, just take me. God, take my life. He's ready to give up. He's ready to quit. Brother Branham said, there he was, laying under the juniper tree. And he said, but something still held him. Something still held him. Oh, you say, Brother Matt, what would have happened to Elijah if God hadn't came? Oh, Elijah would have been through. Elijah would have been finished. But God wasn't finished with Elijah. And let me say this to you, brother. I don't care how low you get. I don't care how down you get. I don't care how much you've given up. And you could say tonight, I've given up on myself, Brother Matt. I just realized I'll never be anything. Oh, let me tell you something, brother. I don't care how much you want to quit and how much you think you're finished. You ain't going to quit until God's finished with you. He'll hold you. He'll keep you. He'll make you. I don't care what the circumstances is. You're not finished until God says you're finished. Hallelujah. Something the prophet said still held. He says, just as he was with me as I came to that place in my own life. And he says, there I was just about gone. My wife had just seen her cross over, had just buried her. And now they call me and he says, Billy, it's your baby. She's got tubercular meningitis. She nursed it from her mama. And Brother Branham says, oh no. Lord, he comes to that hospital room. I know we've all heard the story. He comes to that hospital room and Brother Branham says, I watched her. He says, there she was, my little Sharon Rose. He says, I watched and he says she was about 8 months old. He says, little fat legs were just kicking. He says, oh, she was just old enough to be cute.
Amen.
Imagine as he watches her and he comes to that little baby and he says, it's okay, honey. Daddy's here. It's all right. It's going to be okay. And he says, I watched and I began to cry out to God and say, God, oh Lord, not my baby. Oh Jesus, not my baby. Lord, take anything, but not my baby. Oh, just as Jesus had prayed, if it's possible, Lord, if it's at all possible, don't let it go this way, Lord. Let this cup pass, God. I've watched you heal cancer. I've watched you raise the dead in my meetings. Lord, not my baby. Brother Branham says, I watched her, and he says, and then comes the devil and begins to whisper and says, look at you. Look at you. Look at your life. What has your life been? You've done nothing but serve God your whole life. You went from meeting to meeting to meeting, drug out, strung out, dried up. You've watched your friends forsake you. Everybody thinks you're a quack. Everybody thinks you're crazy. Brother Branham says, he begins to whisper. And now when it comes to your own baby, Brother Branham says, I begin to cry. I said, a black sheet dropped in the room as if to say, shut up, I don't even want to hear you. Prophet says, now everything he said was true. Everything he said was true. As he begins to survey his own life, as Job could have surveyed his. What have I done? I've only served him. I've only stood by him. I've only preached his gospel. I've only preached for him. I've only lived for him. Why this, Lord? Why must I go through this? Why is this happening? And Brother Branham says, as I begin, the devil began to tell me, look at your own baby. You've lived for him. You've preached for him. You've died out for him. You've done everything and everybody's lost you. Everybody's forsaken you. And now when it comes to your own child, he won't even hear your prayer. Brother Branham says, now the devil couldn't tell me that God wasn't real. I'd seen him too many times in my meetings. He says, but he began to tell me that he didn't care about me. That forsaken feeling, that lonely feeling. Why have you forsaken me? God, my God. My heart is desolate, as David said, within me. Job says he's turned me. He's became cruel to me. He's pierced me through. His archers surround me. He rushes at me like a warrior. That's what Job said. Even a man of God, you say, Brother Manners, that should be wrong to say. Listen, friends, they were only human beings. They were only men who was tempted and tried just like you and just like me, prone to failure, prone to mistakes. Brother Branham says, oh, everything he said was true. And he says, I begin to think and say, oh, Lord. He says, oh, God. Here comes to my own baby. Do anything, but don't take my baby, Lord. And Brother Branham said, something welled up within me. Notice his humanity, his human level, his human perspective, his earthly perspective, not seeing the divine perspective. And he says, I looked and said, God, if you won't heal my baby, then I won't serve you. He said, oh, but Brother Matt, he didn't say that. Oh, but he would have. Don't make him more than he was. He was just a man prone to mistakes just like me and you. And let me tell you something, my brother and my sister, had it not been for God's mercy, he would have walked out of that hospital room and turned his back on God and walked away from God. If it was up to William Branham, he told us what he would do. But the prophet of God said, just as I was about to speak it, something way deep down. He said, something way deep down in the inside of me grabbed a hold of me. Brother Branham said, something grabbed a hold of me. I didn't. He said, I couldn't explain it. He said, something grabbed a hold of me and said, the Lord God giveth, the Lord God taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Let me tell you something, my brother and my sister. If it was up to Brother Branham, he would have walked out on God. But it wasn't going to be in his darkest trial, in his darkest night, in the fiery furnace. It wasn't going to be just three men. But there was going to be a fourth man in the middle of the fire. It wasn't going to be up to the faith and courage of three young boys. It was going to be up to a fourth man who showed up in the fire when the fire was hot. There was going to be a fourth man to deliver them in Daniel's lion den. It wasn't going to be up to Daniel to keep the lions from eating him. It was going to be a mighty God who held Daniel in the lion's den. It held the prophet of God. It held Elijah under that juniper tree. And Brother Branham says, when I was just about to give up and just about to quit, something grabbed a hold of me. He says, oh, you sailors, you know what that's about. He says, when you're out there and you're on the great sea, and he said, and the waves are shaking, and he said, and the wind's blowing, and the darkness is set in. And he said, and the wind is blowing, and the ship is moving. And he said, the waves and the seas are swelling. He says, what do? You take that anchor, and you drop it in the water. Amen. And he says, and you put your faith in that anchor. He says, when the ship is all moving and you can't control it anymore and you've lost control and you've given up, what do they do? A sailor doesn't jump out of the boat. He takes his faith and he puts it in an anchor and he drops it over the boat. Brother Branham says, and you can't see what's down there. All you see is the blackness of the sea. But you have faith and you have confidence that down there, somewhere on the bottom of the ocean, is a rock below there that anchor's going to grab a hold of. And you put your faith and confidence that no matter how dark the night gets, no matter how strong the wind gets, that anchor will hold you no matter what you go through. Oh, my brother and my sister, when you came to Jesus Christ, you put your anchor in the water and that anchor will hold you no matter what you go through. That's why the Apostle Paul says we have an anchor that's hidden behind the veil, steadfast and sure. And the prophet of God's anchor that he dropped when he came to Christ was going to hold him in his darkest moment. Oh, you say, Brother Matt, what held the prophet of God? Was it his praying? Was it his preaching? Was it his studying of the Word? Was it his understanding of Revelation? No, brother. No, sister. It was Jesus Christ who was anchored down in the uttermost part of his soul. And let me tell you this, my friend. I don't care how dark it gets. And I don't care how dark it is right now. You may be in a circumstance that you can't even explain. But put your faith in an anchor. Put your faith in that anchor. Put your faith. Drop that anchor here tonight. And say, God, I may not see what's down there. I may not be able to see the bottom of that ocean, but I know there's a rock down there on the bottom of that ocean that anchor is going to grab a hold of, and it's going to hold me no matter when I can't hold myself, when I can't go on. There's going to be something that keeps holding me. Prophet of God says, oh, brother, sister, I've been in the cave long enough and you have to know there's been a lot of earthquakes shaking around, a lot of noise and fusses and stews and things like that, big meetings. But where's God been in it? He says, where's God out of it? That's the reason I said what I did this morning. There's got to come something deeper than a healing service. There's got to come something deeper than a gift to speak with tongues. There's got to be something deeper than a rushing mighty wind. The wind went forth in Elijah's life. And Elijah, no doubt, when he felt it, could feel the wind of God as he begins to feel, and maybe that melancholy feeling begin to leave him. But let me tell you something. God wasn't in the wind. You say, Brother Matt, was the wind not from God? No, the wind was from God, but God wasn't in the wind. Then comes the fire. Now, just a few chapters before, God answered by fire. And now, in this maturity in Elijah's life, God isn't going to answer by fire anymore. And then the earthquake comes, and the earth begins to shake, but God's not in the earthquake. But then there comes something deeper, a still small voice. And the Bible says God was in the voice. You say, Brother Matt, what does that mean? You see, a wind you can feel, a fire you can feel, the earthquake you can feel. It's all walking by sight and not by faith. And God says, Elijah, if you want to get to Mount Carmel, you were at Mount Carmel. But if you want to take Mount Transfiguration, you've got to not serve me by what you feel. Because sometimes you're not going to feel like worshiping me. Sometimes you're going to feel like folding your arms and sitting in your seat. But if you can serve me, not by what you feel, but by a sixth sense called faith. It says, no matter how I feel, I'll praise Him. No matter what I'm going through, I'll worship God because He's worthy of my praise. Can you do that tonight, friend? Can you raise your hand and say, Lord, no matter if I understand the trial, no matter if I understand what I'm going through, I don't, Lord, I'll still worship You. I'll still serve You because Your name is worthy of my praise. Oh, could you stand to your feet tonight and worship Him and say, Lord, no matter if I feel like it, no matter if I feel You or I don't feel You, that doesn't change the fact that You're still God. Oh, as the song says, You are God alone in the good times and the bad. You are on Your throne. You are God alone. Hallelujah. Brother Branham says, let's get that still small voice. That's something that puts the cream in the life. That's something that though you speak with tongues of men and angels and have not that, you're nothing. Though you can prophesy and speak with tongues, show signs and wonders and work miracles, do great signs. But if that little still small voice isn't in there, you're nothing, says the scripture. That's what we're listening for now. We've had the thunders. We've had the fire. We've had the rushing winds and the earthquakes, but God, send us the still small voice. Bow your heads with me here tonight. What are you doing here, Elijah? God asks. It's not because that just by circumstance or happenstance that you're here, Elijah. But God has you here. Oh, I know the devil's tried to tell you that this is the enemy and this is for your harm and your life's over and God's finished with you and finished with that loved one, finished with that family member. Maybe Satan's lied to you and told you that. Let me tell you something, brother. Let me tell you something, sister. Let me tell you something, mother. God ain't finished. If God, I don't care what the circumstance looks like. I don't care what the trial looks like. I don't care how dark the cave is. God ain't finished with you. But God's asking you a question here tonight. Why are you here? I know why I put you here. I know why you're there. I know I'd had sent a preacher here tonight. He could preach on 1,000 different things, but burden his heart with this sermon because of one person, maybe two. Maybe you're here tonight with every head bowed, every eye closed. And maybe you need to say tonight by an uplifted hand, Lord Jesus, I've been resisting my cup of pain. Maybe it's caused great bitterness in your life. Maybe it's caused you to cool off in your relationship with Jesus. But I ask you here tonight with an uplifted hand, would you come back to the Master tonight? Would you say, Lord Jesus, would you give me, Father, would you give me that still small voice back in my life? That confidence back in my life, Lord. Father, not the winds. Oh, I love the wind. I love feeling the Spirit. I love, Lord, feeling Your presence. Lord, but can I say like Job, even when I can't find You, though I've looked on the left, on the right, I've went forward, I've went backwards, can I still at that point say, but here's my confidence. I may not know where God is, but I have this confidence. He knows right where I'm at. And His eye who watches the sparrow, He sees every, He can numbers the head of your, the hairs of your head. He sees every sparrow that falls. And I know He sees me. I know He sees me. And I know He's not forsaken me. God will never forsake you in your weakness, friend. Take confidence tonight. God will never forsake you in your weakness. He's not a father who's going to give up on you. And never give up. Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. How, Lord, we see the, Lord, such a testimony of these men as we looked at their lives here tonight, oh God. Lord, a man like Job who feared you, eschewed evil. Lord, yet in his circumstance, Lord, sometimes it could be so hard to understand. Lord, why? Why must this happen? Why must that happen? We don't understand sometimes, Father. Lord, we don't understand even as you, Lord, in your own humanity, ask for that cup to pass from you. Lord, even as Job, Father, as David, Lord, as your prophet, could come to a place where they'd say, I'm ready to halt, I'm ready to quit, I'm ready to give up, I'm ready to turn back, I'm discouraged. Maybe there's someone here tonight, Lord, in discouragement. Father, sitting at their seat, Lord, may they just receive encouragement here tonight, Jesus. Lord, may your spirit just move and brood amongst these people, Lord Jesus, even as we pray this prayer. Oh God, if that's that a daughter, Lord, or a son, a old or young, whoever it is, Lord, may they be encouraged here tonight. Lord, may they receive encouragement from your word, Lord. That something still held your prophet in his greatest, darkest hour. It wasn't going to be William Branham who held William Branham. It was going to be an anchor that held in the darkest night. May we put faith in that anchor here tonight, Lord, that that anchor will hold us no matter what we go through. Yes, Lord, we ask. Thank you, Lord. What are you playing? What are you playing? Because He lives. Oh, yes. I can face tomorrow. Oh yes, because oh, all my fear is gone. Oh, because I know. Sing it to him now.
He formed my heart
before even time.
Before even time began, my life was in. He knows my name. Sing it to him now. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and he hears me wail.
Oh, sing it again now.
He knows. I have a maker. He formed my heart before even time. My life was in His hands. He knows my name.
Thine own way. Amen.
Could we give the Lord a praise offering here tonight? Oh, for all His mighty works. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Somebody say praise the Lord here tonight. Thank God for victory. Amen. Thank God that the name of the Lord is a strong tower the righteous can run into and be saved. Let's sing that together as we go. The name of the Lord is a strong tower that the righteous run into and they are saved. Oh, the name of the Lord. Oh, yes. That the righteous. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Most High. Let's sing it as we go tonight. Name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into, and they are saved. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.